Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective is presented by YouTube TV. Try it free today at youtube.com/NBA23. New users only. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing on Tuesday afternoon. Joining me from Bristol, Connecticut, where he'll be locked for the foreseeable future, is Bobby Marks, our front office insider. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, everyone. How are we? It feels like a little Groundhog Day every day, guys. 6 a.m. on campus, midnight going back to the hotel. I don't even know. I haven't even eaten any of the good DoubleTree cookies yet. I have not tapped into those. I tried getting them Sunday night when I was doing my laundry, and they gave me those gluten-free that are in a bag were already there. So I have not tasted the cookies yet. So good to be with you guys.
Yeah, I've been saying to people that free agency starts on Thursday, and I realized it doesn't start on Thursday. It starts on Friday. There's a whole other day that I was planning in my head. And so we have more time to wait. Joining us from Los Angeles, California is Om Youngmasook. What's up, Om?
What up, Wendy? I feel like I just saw you like a few days ago, even though now it's been probably like a couple weeks since I saw you in Denver.
Yeah, the finals do feel like they were a while ago. And like, you know, Denver is still on their enjoyment tour. By the way, like, I am so here for it. I always tell people who I know who are on teams that win, it's so hard to win. Just enjoy it, man. Like, talk your talk, do your crazy stuff, you know, take that trophy.
You just described Michael Malone. I wonder how many tattoos he has now. He's added another one since that last one. I wonder if he's actually now sobered up, because every time I saw him, he had a bottle.
They're drafting players and entering free agency. I think he's kind of sobered up. But, you know, if he hasn't, God bless him. I remember Paul Pierce had a great line after they won the title in 08. I remember he came back to training camp and he said, I forgot what my name was because only people only called me Champ all summer.
Yeah, I think Aaron Gordon's still walking the streets of Denver in just his basketball shorts.
and you know what? If he is, God bless him. God bless him. Anyway, we do have free agency starting in a couple of days. Bobby is going to be on that touchscreen. I'm telling you, you think that Bobby Marks's real skill in life is salary cap analysis and, you know, NBA free agent or NBA front office move analysis and, like, you know, maneuvers. But the touchscreen, working the touchscreen, Bobby, is a genuine talent. And people think I'm joking. It is not. That you had to put in your 10,000 hours to get that touchscreen to a place where you felt comfortable doing it on live television.
When I first started here, I was a train wreck. It was, talk about a train wreck where basically they locked me in a room and they said, like, you need to get better at this and you need to get better quick. And we've come a long way from 2017, where I was kind of deer in the headlights, to the point where my 17-year-old wants to study international policy, and he saw me doing a touchscreen, and he's like, "Dad, that's what I want to do. I want to do like the elections, like on the touchscreen and moving things around here." And I am at the mercy of technology, though, because if we have a glitch or we have a freeze, or yesterday I was doing the Trailblazers trade machine, and Damian Lillard was faceless. We have to roll with it, and we have to have fun with it, and we just go with it, right? We just go with it.
I was gonna say Bobby Marks has kind of become our John King, but now your son is going after John King's job.
That's right. I have an impact on young people out there.
I can see when the movie of your life story is made, like the montage, you know, the old 1980s style montage of you like sweating in, you know, at the touchscreen, mid-level exception. Trade exception, move this guy into here, and this is the space under the luxury tax. And
the funny thing was, this morning Tuesday morning, I did a segment on Boston and the Lakers, and I didn't like follow the steps with the Lakers, and I was trying to show like cap holds, and I really tried to get technical with the viewers there, and I kind of just missed the step. And hey, if you knew the cap, you would be like, oh, Bobby missed the step and stuff. And I said to my wife, like, nobody knows, you know, like, I could have been throwing at 900 different things out there and stuff like that. And I left and I was like, man, that was a C-minus effort right there. And, but yeah, it's exciting. And, we've got a lot stored. We got the thing ready to rock and roll this week, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's start talking about it. So the team I really wanted to talk about that I think is going to have an interesting offseason. I'm not so sure it's going to happen in this first week, but I think a team that we at ESPN haven't talked about a lot and that you guys have a lot of insight into are the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers obviously had trade talks last week on a deal with Boston and Washington that didn't come off, that would have involved Malcolm Brogdon. It's not clear how close that trade was. It doesn't really matter because it didn't happen, but it is clear that they are trying to upgrade. So Ohm, you're with the Clippers a lot. I know you covered the Nuggets throughout the playoff run, but you know the Clippers as well as anybody. To me, the fascinating thing about the Clippers is that this summer, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they've got 1 year left on their contracts, and then they've got a player option. So it technically can be 2 years. But in the modern era, when an all-star level player has a year guaranteed left on his contract, we typically see some sort of extension discussion. You know, last year, for example, it was LeBron. LeBron had 1 year left on his contract, and he did a 1+1 extension. He added 1 year plus one. Even a player in his upper 30s did it. There's a bunch of players this year who will be in extension discussions. Maybe we can talk about with Bobby at some point. But this is a fascinating decision because Kawhi has had another surgery that the Clippers announced last week. They called it a cleanup procedure. I don't know what that means. It means that, you know, he's coming off that injury, I guess he suffered in the playoffs. Paul George was unable to finish last season due to an injury. And so I question, is this a simple decision? You know, do they extend them? Do they not extend them? Do they negotiate not a full extension? So give me your feel on the state of the Clippers right now.
I don't think it's a simple decision. I think I have not spoken to Steve Ballmer, but I clearly remember his face at the end of that loss in Phoenix. And I think it was just of this like frustration that why can't my stars be healthy? Why can't this team ever be healthy? And I think business-wise, Steve Ballmer is probably wondering, like, I've spent all this money to make this a first-class franchise, and I cannot get my stars basically to play. I think Paul George had Jerry West on his pod recently, and I think Jerry West said it right to Paul George's face, something like, it's absolutely unbelievable that we have two stars of this caliber, and you guys cannot stay healthy. So I think that's definitely an echo from the entire the frustration of the franchise. I've tried asking Lawrence Frank this numerous times, like at the end of his end of his season press conference, he was talking about improving the team. I said, well, how do you improve availability? That's the biggest thing about this team. You just don't have your two stars. So I asked Lawrence this the other night at the end of the draft last week. I said, you've got your two superstars and extensions coming up. What is your feeling about extending these guys, especially the length of the extensions, because the cap is going to be so restrictive for them? Like, I think the Clippers are at a massive crossroads here, and Bobby can certainly talk more in depth about this, but this team has to figure out, we want to stay competitive and win a championship now. Our window is closing. We are entering a new building in Inglewood in like not next season, but the season after that. And Steve Ballmer wants a competitive team going into that to sell tickets and keep that team relevant. But you don't want to be stuck with two superstars on massive contracts that can't stay healthy, who are certainly getting up there in age as well. And you certainly want to have young prospects going into that season when you go into the new building as well, young talent. So I feel like, you know, they are trying to straddle this line and walk this fine line of how do we stay competitive to win a championship now and build around Kawhi and build around Paul, but also still have a team that's going to be competitive for a long time to come. And now we got to deal with this new CBA. So I think that's a tough decision. If you look at Steve Ballmer, what he did with Ty Lue probably this summer, like Ty Lue was looking for a new deal, certainly more money. And I think Steve Ballmer's like, look, you're still under contract. Look, we love you. We want to keep you, but you're still under contract. I think they're starting to think about, like, what is the best way to spend money smartly with this team and still try to win a championship and still be competitive for years to come?
Yeah, Bobby, I think Holmes summed it up there. I mean, the new CBA rules, the second apron and et cetera, are targeting the Clippers. They're targeting the Warriors and the Clippers. And when they started negotiating at the Nets, although the Nets have pulled back some with the trades, the thing about the difference between the Warriors and the Clippers is the Warriors have won the titles. So they're keeping together and facing the challenge of holding together a title team. the Clippers haven't been able to enjoy much, if any, success at the highest level. And now they're facing the thorns of these new rules.
Yeah. And plus, they're, besides being a second apron team this offseason and the foreseeable future, especially if Paul and Kawhi come back, they're also now in the repeater tax, right? They're in the repeater tax. Their penalty is like $140 million right now. Certainly will increase if they bring back Russell Westbrook or Mason Plumlee. Plumlee's more of a luxury. You know, bringing back Mason Plumlee on an $8 million contract will cost you, I don't know, an additional $50, $60 million. Russell Westbrook, you know, you can only pay him $3.8 million. That's the number. And you're right. I mean, you started to see it on Monday where even teams that were skirting the apron and luxury tax, Atlanta, you know, essentially made a salary dump because of where these new rules are coming. And they basically prioritize some of their younger players, whether it be Sadiq Bey and DeJounte Murray, to try to sign long term and move John Collins. And Ohm's right. I mean, the Clippers have a hard decision, and there's probably going to be, the days of just writing a blank check to both guys, I think it's over. You know, like they're eligible for $4 for $223. It's a huge number. It's like 60 plus in the last year. And there has to be a compromise here. And I feel like we're getting into a little bit of a trend where like organizations are kind of like backed into a corner. You can't lose them for nothing, but you don't want to pay a player the premium. Dallas with Kyrie, Philadelphia with Harden, two players like that where, yes, there are $47 million guys, but hey, can we get you for 35 and we'd still have our non-tax mid-level exception available to go out and get another player here. And I'm fascinated. Kawhi can extend in July, Paul not until September, as far as what they do, because it's a $48 million player option for next year. That's a big number. Like that's a big number. And I think you saw it with Chris Middleton who declined his $40 million player option. There's got to be something waiting for you out there before you to go out into free agency. But the Clippers are at a big crossroad because, you know, it's been the what if factor for the last, 3 years.
Bobby, do you feel like the Clippers are almost like I don't want to say guinea pig, but they could be like the trendsetter here for teams that are going to be in that second apron of like, how do we compete economically to win a championship, but also don't screw us over for like years to come?
Well, I would say Phoenix is definitely not the guinea pig. all this. Yeah, it's, even Golden State, as much as, they print money and Joe Lake up, the let's face it, the Chris Paul Jordan Poole deal was more about getting years 2, 3, and 4 off the books. And Chris has got a non-guarantee for next year here. And I think, where the Clippers are, it just to keep the roster together, and they're faced with a big decision because they've got, they've got Eric Gordon, whose contract is about to become guaranteed on Wednesday. You saw them active at the draft, trying to get Malcolm Brogdon, and they've got expiring contracts, Marcus Morris and Robert Covington and Nick Batum. So let's say those guys walk next year, right after this year, then you're basically left. You're still over the cap, and you're probably under the tax, but you still have what else do you have to go out and kind of add to your roster? You have to basically kind of take that Miami approach where you're really kind of where you're bargain shopping.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this particular situation, if you have all-star level players like Kawhi and Paul George and they hit free agency, your typical concern is, man, they're going to walk. They're going to walk and we're going to lose a star player for nothing. In this case, and I don't know, I can't ever get inside the head of Kawhi. There's no way. And I know what Paul George has said. Both of these guys really, really badly want to be in Los Angeles. Kawhi walked away from a situation in Toronto that was really set up for them to continue winning because he wanted to come home. Playing at home was extremely important to both of them. Same with Paul. Paul committed to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then asked for a trade a year later, almost begrudgingly, because he said, I just can't pass this up to go home. And if you're not necessarily as worried, if you're not the Thunder worried about Durant, the Cavs worried about LeBron, I don't know, pick your guy who left for nothing. Ohm, is there any leverage there for the Clippers to say, well, we know these guys don't want to leave LA. Maybe we can maybe handle this differently than a normal keep your stars negotiation?
I mean, dude, I think the Clippers have to try to use everything to their advantage to try to maybe tug on those strings there. The interesting dilemma to me with Kawhi Leonard, and I think we'll find the answer when we see what this extension is going to be, if he does get an extension, is that this organization has done everything to bend over backwards to make Kawhi Leonard happy, from like giving him his entire, you know, basically bringing all his people onto this organization, to watching every step of how many games he plays and the whole like basically load managing and all that stuff.
I mean, just the whole idea of bringing him in to start this. What was the thing? He played the last 6 minutes. I don't even remember. Like, don't start.
Yeah, they started the season. They started the season where he didn't start, and he was coming off the bench and played the final 6 minutes of the first half. So he didn't even come in till 6 minutes ago in the first half. So that way they could make sure that he was available at the end of the fourth quarters. And that was a disaster. Ty Lue hated that right from the start.
Oh, I remember texting you. They were in Minnesota. I think it was Minnesota, and they were getting their doors blown off, and none of the guys played this. It was the first night of a back-to-back, and none of them played the second half. And I text you, I'm like, are we going to see these guys? We would see them tomorrow night, right? They only play like 15 minutes. And Owen was like, I don't think so. That's not how it goes. Like, they're down for game two here.
Yeah, I think you remember there was one game they were at Denver, and they just got waxed from the beginning. I mean, and they didn't play Paul and Kawhi in the second half. It was the first of a back-to-back. They were going to Minnesota the next night. And I think you might have texted me. You're like, they're going to play the next night, right? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, yes, they only played like 15 minutes or 20 minutes in this first half. But the MO is they don't play back-to-backs at that point, and they didn't. But I think what you'll see now is it's real interesting. Like, the Clippers have done everything to try to make Kawhi Leonard happy. If Kawhi wants the full 4-year extension, what are the Clippers going to do? It's almost like the Clippers now are at this point. Yes, it's very hard for them because, look, everybody was asking me last year about load managing. And I said, look, it has worked for Kawhi. And you saw him in those first two games of Phoenix.
That's what I was going to say.
That was like two-time finals MVP Kawhi Leonard's, what we saw in those first two games against Phoenix before he got hurt. And everybody's like, well, the load managing didn't work. But I mean, like, he had an MCL injury, yes, to the same knee that he had the ACL injury. So perhaps related, perhaps or not. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But I do know that their load managing was working up to that point. Just get that dominant Kawhi. I talked to someone in Denver the very next round when they were playing Phoenix. And we were talking about Kawhi, and this person said, dude, if the Clippers had won and Kawhi was healthy the way Kawhi was playing, that would have been trouble. I still think Denver would have gotten past them because...
Well, what Paul George was getting closer to playing. Who knows when he would have been able to play. But yes. I felt the same thing. You know, you and I were covering that Clippers-Suns series. You know, and I thought about that series with Dallas. Was it, I guess, 3 years ago now? Was it 3 years ago? Was the series that he tore his ACL in.
Oh, that was against Utah. He tore it against Utah.
Oh, but the Dallas series before that, where he was out of this world. Yeah. And then he was so strong coming down the stretch of last year. And you're like, gosh, they finally got it. It's finally working. And Ty Lue came out in game one and threw this game plan that confused the Suns. And so Ty was in his bag and Kawhi was doing it. And, you know, it was like, okay, it's going to work. It's going to work. And like, that's the thing. You know, and I wrote a piece last year where I compared the Clippers situation to poker, where you've already thrown like so many of your chips in the middle that the remaining chips that you have to stay in the pot because it doesn't make any sense with all you have in the middle. You have to stay in it because even if it's a bad double down or it's a bad idea to keep throwing those chips in, your investment is so deep that you have to do it.
Right.
And it's like, okay, everybody was starting to show their cards and it was working. And I mean, Ty was in like, I haven't seen Ty in that mood. He was in such a good mood, you know, after game one, not just because they won, because it was like, it's working, you know, because all of those press conferences that you went to on last year where Ty was just varying levels of exacerbated. He's like, can we just have our two guys for like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And he didn't even have Paul, but he was so happy because he had most of the team.
I will say one thing with Ballmer. And I remember talking to Ballmer about this when he took me on a tour of the new arena last summer.
How many
toilets? Asked him, oh, I don't remember how many toilets. I do know there's probably a countdown clock in there to tell you to get back to your seats. He was telling me, I asked him, I said, you know, you keep an eye on the Golden State Warriors and they just won the championship. And I was like, you know, you want to beat the Golden State Warriors. You want to be where they're at and win championships. What have you learned watching them? And he said to me, everybody keeps telling me that you need at least two superstars to win a championship. And I think he has, watching the Denver Nuggets this year and seeing how the Nuggets won and that they just needed guys to be healthy. They needed Jamal Murray to come back healthy. They needed Michael Porter Jr. to come back healthy. Yes, this is a different situation because the Clippers don't have homegrown guys like Denver, but at least they could see that once Denver was healthy, they finally won a championship. Perhaps Steve Ballmer is telling himself, I have no choice. I have to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George get healthy. And if they're healthy, we've seen what they can do. I mean, Ty Lue said it out at the end of that Phoenix series. The one thing we can hold our hat on is we know that we still haven't, I think he said, we still haven't lost a series when our two stars are healthy. And
I can see him saying that in 25 years. Yeah. We never lost a series with Paul and Kawhi.
That's like Perk saying that with his Celtics, right? Yeah, sure.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. So, Bobby, let's say the Clippers called you up and paid you an enormous consulting fee, because if I were you and they asked you, I would ask for a huge number. What would you say about how to handle these extension situation?
Well, it's interesting because prior to this new CBA starting, I would have given you that, hey, let's do the Zion Williamson, Joel Embiid type contracts here, where it's almost the NFL style contract where you're paying them a max number, but you're guaranteeing the first year, and then years 2 to 4 have stipulations in there, whether it be games played, injury clauses, certain triggers along the way. However, the only relief with those is when you waive the player. So if you did a 4-year $223 million with either player, you're still absorbing the full number when they're on your roster. Like, so right. you're still getting a $55 million cap hit. It still limits your flexibility. It still puts you in the second apron and restricts your draft picks here. For me, based on how these new rules are, $48 million player option, you can decrease anywhere you want down. I mean, for me, I would probably be somewhere in the 30s, you know, is it 3 for 110, somewhere around there. I would rather let them walk for nothing. And I know it's an exorbitant amount what they gave in, and then you almost have to reset, but it's easier for me to say you're walking into a new building. When we built the Barclays Center, well, I didn't build, when the Barclays Center was built in 2012, when we moved in there, there was a mandate that we could not have a team of draft picks walking in there. We cannot walk in there with these young players there, which probably would have been a better situation, that we had to have a already made product on the court to sell to the fans out there. And that's what we tried to do. And it cost you, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years down the road here. And that's the big thing, is you're walking into that new building. You're going to walk in with Bones Highland and Terrence Mann and, I don't know, Kobe Brown, your former draft picks here. So for me,
in Boston.
Yeah, there's got to be a compromise out here, because will there be a team in 2024 that slaps down $45, $46 million for either guy? I don't know. I don't know what the landscape's going to be yet.
Yeah. And so they did the trade that they were trying to make with trading Marcus Morris for Brogdon and the pick that they ended up using on Kobe Brown. they were taking on significant money. Like Marcus Morris is expiring and Brogdon's got, what is it, 2 years left, Bobby? Or is it?
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah.
2 years left. It, I think,
like over 2 years, 20 something million each year.
Yeah. It's over 40 million. 23? So, I mean, that is an indication. And again, it didn't happen, but you know, it got to the point where it was a serious discussion. Is an indication that they're intending to still go.
If Lawrence was asked, are you, you had said that your plan is to build around Kawhi and PG. Does that remain the same now? Yeah. After they were like, you know, Paul George's name, you know, he was hearing his name in trade rumors, you know, so he, Lawrence basically said, yes, the plan is still to maximize our two stars and build around them. So yeah. It'll be real interesting though, Bobby, like if you don't offer them what they are used to, I mean, these are two guys, I believe they're two top 10 players. Okay. One healthy. And you say, we're not going to pay you like two top 10 players. And in the case of like Paul George, if he's heard his name in trade rumors this summer, you wonder, like, we don't want to offend our guys as well, you know?
Well, that's why I think if you're Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank, you have an eye on what happens with Harden and Irving. I think you have an eye on that because I would be surprised if basically either player get a blank check. I think there's going to have to be some negotiations from a salary standpoint where you're not going in there saying we're going to start you at 47 and work our way up. And I think that could set the stage for what happens with, you know, especially for two guys have been Harden, you know, compared to the two Clipper guys, they've been relatively more healthy than. So I'm intrigued what happens at the end of the week here, because I do think that sets a little bit of a stage for what happens when we talk about extensions.
Yeah. When you talk about Harden and Kyrie, and correct me if you think I'm out of line here, Bobby, please say so. I think that those guys can present the case that they are max players, even at $47 million a year, which I think would be both of their maxes somewhere in that neighborhood. Yep. I think that you can say that they are quote unquote worth that. It's not the average. It's not the on the cap. It's how many years, and for different reasons. One, because Harden is up there in age and has frankly looked like he's declined a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if that decline is getting reversed. And for Kyrie, it's because I like the background. Your background is changing.
For me?
Yeah. Bobby's in a studio.
In my office. I need this in my office.
That's right. Anyway, in Kyrie's case, it's just, you know, it's health, it's off-court things. So to me, it's if they're both getting max contracts, I don't have an issue with that. It's just going to be the years. And, you know, in the case of the Clippers, it might be the years and the money, because the size of the money affects what the whole team can do. But yeah, I mean, the years is going to be, don't you think, with Kyrie and Harden is going to be what the real drama is my guess.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, as I always say, Kyrie's a max guy, but he's like a year-to-year max guy, right? Like, I don't mind paying him 47, but it's going to be, is it going to be five for 276? Is it going to be four for, I don't know, 230, somewhere around there? I think that's where the concern, certainly with Harden, four for 213, that's a huge number. It's a big number as far as going up, you know, it's not declining. In a perfect world, you'd love to give him 47 in the first year and then 34, 34, and 34 for years two to four, but that's not how the system works.
Right. Okay. So we'll see what happens. Oh, I cut you off a minute ago. Did you want to say something else?
No. I think the Clippers are, like, I asked Lawrence about this, and Lawrence said, look, we're going to have a hard, true conversation, an honest conversation with, you know, his front office about what we want to do lengthwise and extension. I think the Clippers' number one argument to those two guys is going to be, you guys have played, like, what I think Bobby put this in, 41% of your regular season games together. And there are going to be times when they are going to probably remember the Clippers front office. They're like, there were so many games last season where they were sitting there and people in the organization were like, what is happening? When are these guys going to come back and play? I will always remember there was one day, those two had been out for a couple weeks and they came back to practice on a Friday afternoon. And I saw them in the corner, Kawhi and Paul talking to each other. And I go, this is kind of weird. I haven't seen this before when the media is allowed to watch practice, but okay. So maybe they're just talking about coming back tomorrow. And the next day was a 12 PM start or 12:30 start on a Saturday afternoon, those matinee games that the Clippers absolutely hate. And I showed up at the arena around, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning or something like that. And we were already getting rumblings that those two are not going to play. And then Ty announced it. And I remember people in the organization were just like, we are throwing away games. What are we doing here? Why are these guys not playing? And there was massive frustration, not just Ty Lue, who had been frustrated all season long, but people in the organization. I think this is the type of thing that they probably will remember when it comes time to the extension. And certainly I think they're going to have to point the hard facts about it and then try to find a happy medium.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely watch it. Okay. So the other LA team is also got some interesting stuff this week or not. I either will be or won't be. They're going to show their hand a little bit, although I don't think there's that much drama, Bobby, but they have to show their hand a little bit on Thursday. They got three players on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. They got to make decisions on their contract. Malik Beasley has a $16.5 million team option. They got to decide to pick that up or not. Beasley had some really good moments after the trade, but was not in the playoff rotation, basically. Jared Vanderbilt, who only has $300,000 of his $4.6 million guaranteed. That, to me, is a no-brainer. High energy, multi-talented, multiple position, starter or off the bench. That's a no-brainer to me. But if they waived him on Thursday, they could clear $4.3 million in space. And Mo Bamba, who I think is $10.3 million non-guaranteed. Is that the guarantee date, Bobby? Or can they go further on that?
No, because then it rolls. I mean, they can amend the contract. It's not like he has a team option. So you can amend it, but that's, you know, it's the end of, yeah, it's the end. I think the 29th is the end of the week.
Okay. So, so the thing about it is, like, if they waived all three players, they could take $31 million off their books. They wouldn't necessarily have $31 million in space. They could, like, if they wanted to go sign a player, they could renounce Austin Reaves and renounce Rui Hachimura. If they let those guys go, I mean, and look, maybe they let Malik Beasley go because they just don't think he's a $16.5 million player. If they'd let those guys go, it's an indication that they've got something cooking in free agency, that they're going to want to have that maneuverability. If they don't let them go and they just keep all of them or keep two of the three of them, I think it's an indication to me they're going to do what Rob Pelinka has indicated, which is they're going to try to bring the core of the team back and then deal with Hachimura and Reaves. And before we talk about Hachimura and Reaves, Bobby, I just want to get your opinion, because the reason why you'd keep them is that they would be valuable as expiring contracts. And Vanderbilt is valuable in the rotation, but those other guys valuable later on in trade, potentially with the draft pick.
No, you're right. I mean, I think when you look at it, let's say they keep Rui and Austin's cap hold, and the goal is to bring them back and they keep Jared Vanderbilt, which is the likelihood. You waive Bamba, you don't pick up Beasley's option, and you basically renounce all your free agents. I think the most you can get there is like 17, 18 million in room. I think I'm more in the, I think you certainly the, what happens with D'Angelo Russell, you know, guys like that. The only thing you'd be careful, you have to be careful with, because Beasley's number is 16 and Bamba's 10, as far as getting closer to the tax, where with Rui and Austin, when they come back, I'm more inclined to decline Beasley's option and then maybe bring him back at a little bit, a lower number, maybe half that number, kind of going that more that direction. Bamba's a little bit more trickier, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different variables they can go. And I think certainly running them back is, you can do that. I mean, you can bring back Reaves, Hachimura, you can bring back Lonnie Walker, you can bring back, you'd have,
yeah, I mentioned Lonnie Walker. He's a straight free agent, Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, you'd have your 12-4 non-tax. Russell, D'Angelo Russell is going to be interesting as far as what the price point for him will be here. But I think we will have a little bit of a better understanding, you know, towards the end of the week, because as you said, those are three key decisions there.
All right, we'll talk about Russell in a second. First, I want to talk about Reaves and Hachimura. So Austin Reaves is a restricted free agent. The Lakers have matching rights. This is the old Arenas provision. It goes back to Gilbert Arenas, what, in 2003?
Yes. Bobby? Yes, Golden State.
So as a quick primer, please correct me if I'm wrong, but in the old days, if you only had a player for 2 years, you had very limited rights on what you could re-sign him for. And so even though the player was restricted, another team who had cap space could come in and offer him more than you could match. So what the Arenas rule was, because that's what happened with Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas was drafted in the second round by the Golden State Warriors. I'm sorry for this annoying history lesson, but it is 20 years ago, so I'm trying to help folks. I am getting old. Arenas played 2 years with the Golden State Warriors, was awesome, totally outplayed his second round status. The Warriors had no cap space, and they could only match, back then they could only match up to like $5 million or something like that, right, Bobby? Was like,
yes,
the rule.
That is correct.
And here comes the Washington Wizards, and I think they offered him 10 a year, which back then was, it wasn't
6 years, $67 million. I believe that was the number.
Okay. So 11 a year. And that wasn't the max, but it was a huge number back then. And so that's less than the mid-level now, Bobby. That's how old we're getting. That's how old we're getting.
Max used to be 13 million.
I know. That's what it was when I came in the league. It was like 13 million. Anyway, so they put in a rule that protected it. So, but there is a way around this rule. And Bobby, I wish you could explain what this quote unquote threat is to the Lakers with Austin Reeves.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers will have the ability to match any offer sheet here, but let's say a team like the Rockets come in and want to slap down a big offer sheet here. They basically can essence backload the deal where for the first two numbers would be like 12 and 12. And then it would jump to like 25 and $26 million here. As far
right.
as
you have to, you're limited to paying him $12 million a year, which is the average player salary in the first year.
Correct. Yep.
Those are the first 2 years, no matter what, whether he averages 75 points or 0.75 points. And then the rule changes in year three and four of a contract. Then you can go up to the max.
Yeah. Brooklyn did it with Tyler Johnson in Miami a few years ago, maybe not even a few, probably 7 years ago. They gave him that big offer sheet and Johnson's numbers were like 5.8 and 6 million the first year, 2 years. And then it jumped to like 19.5 in the last years three and four. And it just makes it, you know, it's funny because Reeves is limited to, the Lakers can only offer him like four for like 53. Okay. But he can go out and sign a 4-year, $80 million offer sheet with the Rockets and the Lakers can match. And now the Lakers are paying him 4 for $80. So it's a little
That's a loophole for him
to get an additional, like, I don't know, $27 million. But the team pays the price in years three and four when that number basically doubles.
The only thing I could say there is that if something like that were to happen, and the Rockets have $60 million that they are going to want to spend, right? If the Lakers talk about that, LeBron in theory would be off the books or certainly off the books at his number. And I don't know what happened with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is eligible for an extension, I believe, in August. And the new TV money would come in there. So I think if he got that sort of offer, I don't think the Lakers would seriously consider matching it. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't, but it's not as killer as it potentially sounds like. I'm not saying that Austin Reeves is an $80 million player, but I'm not saying he wouldn't get something like that if a team really wanted him bad enough.
Well, the other thing too, Brian Ohm, is that if you're the team that's giving him the offer sheet, you got to be careful because your cap space gets tied up there, you know, for that, you know, for that window here.
Like 10 days, Bobby? Like,
no, they've shortened it now. Now it's really like 48. The new CBA rule a little bit.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, you can start talking with free agents on Friday. Let's say team
you can
X
sign an offer sheet too.
You can.
That. Yeah, they'll allow you to do that. But the clock doesn't start until the moratorium is lifted.
Right. Okay. So let's say team X comes in and offers Austin Reeves one of these balloon contracts on Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, and he agrees to it. The team that signs him to that can't actually start the clock until July 6th, which means they won't know in theory until July 7th, if the Lakers play it that way, whether they're actually going to match it. Now, Lakers could come out and say, heck yeah, we're going to match it. But in theory, you would then tie yourself up that cap space up until July 7th. And now other things could happen and you don't have that money. That's the penalty of going after a restricted free agent.
Yeah, that's the penalty. And it's not like you could say, hey, we've got this offer sheet out. We don't know if the Lakers are going to match and say this to free agent X. Yeah, I think we might have $20 million for you, but we're not sure. Can you just wait until July 7th? Right.
Can you wait on Austin Reeves? That's the question we're asking you here. Yeah.
Well, Bobby, I was going to say, remember when the Nets were doing that because they had nothing to lose? And they were often like, it was like Crabbe and Tyler Johnson.
You know, funny,
and they were just throwing out these like basically deals with the restricted free agents because they were like poison pill deals or whatever. And they were just like, yeah, we have nothing to lose.
I always think back on that. I think that's when Sean Marks just took over maybe a year. And I was saying, people always say, oh, they're geniuses. They're the most creative offer sheets. And I always look back and say, like, man, they caught a break that these teams matched it. I mean,
but then they traded for Allen Crabbe anyway.
They eventually did get Allen Crabbe. But Otto Porter, Allen Crabbe, Tyler Johnson, three offer sheets on three different players here that turned out to be not good contracts at all.
I think at the end of the day, the Lakers are keeping Austin Reeves. It's just a matter of how it works out and how much it affects them. I suppose, like, I remember, you know, they let Alex Caruso walk over a couple of million dollars a couple of years ago. So maybe I shouldn't be so cavalier in assuming that they would match something that would cost them tens of millions. So maybe I shouldn't be, but I don't know. Maybe it's a new era for the Lakers. I just saw him pay $5 million to move up seven spots in the second round. So maybe it's a new era.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Before we talk about Rui Hachimura, Omar, I want to say something about restricted free agency. It is the worst position to be in the NBA contractually to be a restricted free agent, except when it's not. And what I mean by that is there's this little teeny lane that you can hit as a restricted free agent where opposing teams think they might be able to get you. If you are deemed a quote unquote gettable restricted free agent, because some guys, you know, that they're going to match. Like I see, you know, people say, oh, guess what? Next year, LaMelo Ball is a free agent. I'm like, he will not be. But, you know, if you want to put him on your list of free agents for 2024, go for it. He's not a gettable restricted free agent. He will either sign his extension this year or they will match anything. But if you are in this lane, and Alan Crabb was in this lane, and right now the guy who's in this lane, in my view, is Cam Johnson and potentially Grant Williams. We don't know whether the Brooklyn Nets are going to go all the way to the wall on Cam Johnson. We suspect that they will, but there's some gray area that they may not, that there's some upper level. And so if a team realizes or thinks that they can do that, they will often overpay you to, and they're not even like bidding against another team. They're not even like bidding for you. They're bidding against your team. And Grant Williams is kind of the same. The Celtics just traded for a big man. They've got a lot of money committed. They were going to trade Malcolm Brogdon. They haven't been able to do that. Maybe they can't, you know, they're into the tax. Maybe they can't afford to keep Grant Williams at a certain number. So Grant Williams is a guy who you may throw an offer sheet down on because you think you got a chance to get him. And that's what happened with Otto Porter. And that's what happened with Tyler Johnson. There was somebody happened to last year and my brain is, oh, DeAndre Ayton, the Pacers, maybe they match, but they throw the max offer sheet because they think there's a possibility that they won't. And so there's this little lane. And I think Austin Reeves might be sort of in the gray area there. I still think the Lakers are going to keep him. But you remember like back in the day, Bobby, like Paul Millsap comes to mind when the Trailblazers tried to get him from the Jazz. I think it was, or was the Jazz from the Trailblazers. And like, it was like some balloon payment. They had to pay him like a huge amount up front. Yep. You put all these toxic things in there that are beneficial to the player, but like trying to hurt the team for matching the deal.
Yeah. I think you have, that's a great point. I think it's interesting. Like Houston, for me, their cap space is valuable to them, right? They're looking to upgrade, whether it be one, two or three players. Like, I don't know if they can be in a position to wait until July 7th for the Lakers to match. However, as you saw last year with like DeAndre Ayton in the offer sheet, there are teams out there like Detroit, for example, that says, you know what? Cam Johnson is the only guy we're going to target. And if we don't get him, we'll figure out what to do with cap space down the road. And certainly you've got to spend up to 90% up until the first day of the regular season. It's not like we have a waiting list of players here. So we're going to put an offer sheet down for four for $100 million or $110 million. If we get him, great. He fits here. If we don't, you know what? We'll go look for out for trades, or maybe we'll take back contracts, or maybe we'll use that money in August here, where I think it's different where, as I said, with the Rockets, where they said, yeah, you know what? We want to go get Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, and Bruce Brown, for example. I can't wait 7 days figuring out with my cap space tied, because I want to go out and get those three guys right now, where the other team can just say, like, Indiana never used that cap space until they renegotiated Miles Turner.
That's right.
Let me ask you guys, do you guys think that this first week of free agency is going to go like it normally does, that guys, you're going to see guys come off the book like real fast, a certain tier, like in the first few days? Or do you think, like, you know, this new CBA and everything? I mean, obviously, their teams are not going to be punished by the new CBA. But do you think this is going to be a normal free agency?
Bobby, timing, I think, will be about the same, because I'm hearing about a lot of negotiations. A lot of negotiations are being done right now. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see some J.J. Redick contracts. And what I mean by that is, you remember when there was 1 year, like 5 or 6 years ago, when Philadelphia had like $20 million and they didn't really know how to spend it, and they didn't want to lock themselves into it for multiple years. So JJ Redick took like a 1 year, $22 million contract. Mm-hmm. And JJ had more interesting offers with different teams, but he couldn't pass up a one-off for $20 million. And he went and took it. I think he got a second one. Didn't he get a second one-off for another? And, you know, it worked out for JJ, because he still then got a long-term contract at the end there with New Orleans. He got one more multi-year contract after doing those one-offs. I think we could see, Bobby, unless you think I'm wrong, because teams are worried about where their cap is going to go, how things might fall. I they have to spend the money and they like the player, but I could see, like, hey, we're going to give you 1 year or maybe like 2 years on a player that maybe 2 years ago you would have given four.
Yeah, rented cap space. I think that's going to be the theme here as far as teams renting cap space. And I think you saw a little bit of that with Oklahoma City, with Bertans going into half of their room to move up two slots here, where it doesn't impact you at all next year, where some of their, maybe you're looking to maybe extend some of your players or make a bigger splash here. And I do think you might see more bloated contracts, because there is a drop off. I mean, a significant drop off when you look at the bigger names here compared to, you know, listen, the guard, for example, the point guards with Kyrie and VanVleet. And then you're looking at, you know, certainly Gabe Vincent's and D'Angelo Russell's of the, you know, the $12.4 million guys here. And I think teams have to spend it with the new rules. The salary cap teams have to spend it before, you know, the first day of a regular season here. So Max Strus might get 1 year, $15 million. Maybe. You know, that's a, you know, something like that. So I do think you're going to see some of these cap space teams rent. Houston probably not as much, but rent the cap space.
Yeah. So, okay, you mentioned D'Angelo Russell. By the way, Hachimura will be interesting. We talked about him with Bontemps and McMahon the other day. I'm not sure what the market is for him. I'm not sure he's going to be seen as one of those quote unquote gettable free agents. So it's not so much his value. I'm not so sure if anybody's coming in with the offer sheet. Reeves could be a little different, because of the machinations, the way you can structure his contract. Hachimura, I don't think, is being seen. I think the Lakers have pretty much announced, especially if they pick up those guys' contracts. Hachimura is, you know, a guy who I think a lot of people think are going to keep. So I don't know if he gets an offer. I think that might just get straight negotiated. That number could get interesting, especially as you look at what the Lakers are going to try to do into the future. But D'Angelo Russell, this is a polarizing player. There are obviously people that really like Russell. He has been a productive player at times in his career. The last time he was a free agent, he had multiple teams offer him the max salary. He had moments in the playoffs where he was vitally important for the Lakers, and moments in the playoffs where he absolutely disappeared. I don't know who they'd replace him with, Bobby, unless you think they could re-sign Dennis Schroeder and say he's our starter, which he was for a big chunk of the season. But I also know, like, I don't know, maybe it's a 1 year deal. I don't know what the Lakers should give him. I know that they need someone to play that position, but I also know that they can't lock themselves into a situation there.
No, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, certainly you would have said, you know, during the season, hey, you know, 3 for 60, you know, somewhere around there. Now it's like, kind of, would he do 2 for 30, you know, maybe a player option in a second year. you know, a little north of the non
be a team option in the second
year. Yeah, maybe a team, maybe non guaranteed in the second year. Because I don't know what the, I mean, you look at the teams that have room, a lot of them have guards. Indiana, Detroit, Orlando, you know, the list of teams, Oklahoma City, they all got guards, point guards. And it's hard for me to see one of these teams going out and spending north of $15 million on him.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Lakers and you saw like at in that Western Conference Finals, he was basically just, he just vanished. I think it's got to be about the right price for them to bring him back. I mean, I keep thinking with the Lakers, it's like, dude, they, I think they need to see this roster together. I mean, remember, I think we forget that, like, they started that year, even in like at the beginning, at the end of January, they still had Russell Westbrook on that team. We have not seen what that team and that roster can do for a full season. And so, yeah, while they left a bad taste in your mouth that they got swept in the Western Conference Finals, I think Rob has to look at this like, well, let's see what this team can do for a full season together. You have a full training camp. We like what we saw that we were able to do in a couple months. And remember, we didn't even have LeBron James for a good portion of that toward the end of the regular season because he was hurt. So I want to bring back as many of these guys as possible, but at the right price.
So here are the free agent point guards. I have a list right here. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Fred VanVleet. I don't think these are legitimate options for the Lakers. Obviously, they could do something. Wouldn't say it's impossible, but I don't think they're headed in that direction. And if they change their posture, we will certainly be talking about it on the next podcast. And then the list gets awfully thin if you don't include D'Angelo Russell. We're talking about Westbrook. That's not happening. We're talking about, and if you're talking about unrestricted free agents, you're talking about Gabe Vincent, Schroeder, Patrick Beverley. There's some restricted options out there, like our core Joseph is unrestricted, like Trey Jones from the Spurs.
Yep.
You know, it bolsters the case for re-signing Russell because, you know, I get, you know, you can bring Schroeder back, although you have limited rights on him, but that's a real challenge for the Lakers. You know, keeping Hachimura and keeping Reeves at numbers that don't imperil you going forward and how you handle Russell. And Russell, by the way, is going to know that. He's going to know that the Lakers don't have another great option. That's going to affect his negotiation. So,
you know what? Both LA teams have a little bit of a point guard dilemma. We didn't talk about this with the Clippers. If the Clippers don't get Russell Westbrook back, and there's certainly a chance of that because they can only offer him the $3.8 million. And Russ is going to see what's on the market. And he's going to take a long, hard look to see what else he can get. And I think he's going to consider it, even though he loves being in LA and he loved playing for the Clippers and Paul George. I think he's going to look and see what other money he can get. I mean, what did the Clippers do if they don't have Russell Westbrook back? You know,
well, I just listed the dearth of point guards out there at less than the huge dollar amounts.
Maybe Michael Winger might have to, there might be a call into Michael Winger to say, hey, you got a glut of point guards.
Yeah, I think
not anymore. Come on down.
Yeah, certainly that could certainly happen, but, there.
And, by the way, Bobby, I was thinking about this as I was at the Clippers draft the other night. I was like, man, Michael Winger, the trades he's been making, it's almost like the Clippers were holding him back. He wanted to make, he was still making deals for the Clippers up until they backed out of the Brogdon thing.
I think he made five trades in a 1 week span here. Yes, there is a glut of guards on that roster. And I think what you see in what you see entering free agency is probably not what you're going to see come end of September.
Absolutely. And he's collecting draft picks. So that's a thing. And the Clippers were trying to give him one and it didn't work out. So the LA teams will be definitely always, they get attention and they'll have some interesting attention this week. You know, the George Kawhi thing doesn't have to be decided now. Like that can be decided, I guess, in theory up till next June, right, Bobby? Like,
yeah, there's no deadline because they have an option. So you can wait all the way up until the end of June.
One thing I want to ask you about, and this is something I would ask off the pod, so I'm asking it on the pod. The Celtics are introducing Kristaps Porzingis on Thursday. Considering what they traded for him, I suspect they would want to work out an extension. Sometimes, though, when you trade a player, you can't extend him for 6 months unless it's done at the time of the trade. They did the trade. As far as I know, the trade's been completed.
Mm-hmm.
How does an extension work with Porzingis? I think he can do it now. He doesn't have to wait 6 months.
He can, they're limited for the next 6 months. It's a total of 3 years, including what's left on his contract. So they can give him two additional years and then a 5% raise off the 36. So it comes out to 2 for 77. That's the most in that 6 months.
That's quote unquote his max, even though that's not max.
So that rule actually will change in the new CBA next year, where the players that are acquired in a trade, you are allowed to give a total of 4 years. So now 3 new years, and then you can do a 120% increase, almost like the old, I guess we're the current vet extension rules here. But Porzingis is going to be interesting just because, let's face it, I mean, with Jaylen Brown and then likely Jason Tatum next year, like Marcus Smart was making $18 million. So now you're going to add 36, right? You're doubling the number there going forward for either for the next couple of years. And certainly there's no restriction as far as decreasing it, but I don't know if you're Porzingis, you want to go in that boat.
Yeah, that'll be, I would expect them to try to get a deal done. I do not think it would be 2 for 77 though, but I mean, it's not my money. So I would be interested to see how that plays out, but I know that they announced that they're going to have a press conference on Wednesday or Thursday to introduce them. So, okay. Ohm and Bobby, you guys got more work to do, and I appreciate you chatting about the Clippers and Lakers. Thank you to Jackson, our producer, and Bruce as well. We will be talking to you, I guess, late Thursday. I just realized this, that I said on the podcast the other day that would be the first day of free agency. I've been in my head, free agency has been starting on Thursday for like 48 hours here. So
Thursday is a big day though, Brian, because that's the last for player options, 5 o'clock player and team options player. Then there's still a bunch out there. Certainly Harden and Clarkson, Talen Horton-Tucker, Josh Hart. There's still a list of guys still there.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson is an interesting one for sure. It's not getting talked about. So we'll see what happens. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.